Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live, Friday edition. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and I do not think I will get much argument when I say that there's a great need for psychological and psychiatric healing in our world today, as well as spiritual healing, and perhaps nothing makes this more obvious than the shocking increase in the number of suicides. What causes, all this profound pain, and what's the hope for healing? If you have questions about an integrated approach to mental health, including our spiritual health, and particularly to suicide prevention, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is well qualified to help us navigate these deep waters of mental and spiritual suffering and health. Dr. Aaron Cariotti is Associate Professor of Psychiatry and the Director of the Bioethics Program at the University of California Irvine School of Medicine. Dr. Cariotti is also the author of The Catholic Guide to Depression, How the Saints, the Sacraments, and Psychiatry Can Help You Break Its Grip and Find Happiness Again. Dr. Cariotti, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So recently you also had a piece in the journal First Things, which that I found quite shocking, and just upsetting, that the mental health of young people today is in rough shape, and that is in fact manifested in a great increase in the number of suicides.
That's right. There are troubling statistics that have come out in the last year or two, basically showing that since 1999, suicide rates in the United States have gone up rather dramatically among both men and women in every age group up to the age of 75. And the rise is especially sharp among young people. So if you can imagine that the suicide rate for 10 to 14-year-old girls has tripled during this time between 1999 and the most recent data that we have from 2014 and that 15-year period. And we know that depression and other mental health problems that put people at risk of suicide are nothing new. But something is going on in the environment, in the wider culture or in our society that is putting people at higher risk. And I think it's very important for us to try to take a look at what that is. And it's very important for the church to ask, how can we reach out to people that are struggling, that are suffering from various forms of anguish that might lead them to think that life is not worth living anymore. So this is a great cultural and social problem that we face. And I would say it's a pastoral challenge for the church as well. And I know that the bishops in California are very keenly interested in addressing this issue of mental health, in reaching out to those who struggle with mental health issues. And I think, if you can imagine sort of bad outcomes from mental illness, suicide would be at the top of the list. You know, that mm-hmm. most tragic thing that can happen to folks who struggle with depression and other mental health problems.
Well, but it doesn't seem, at least I didn't get the sense from your piece, that this greater tendency towards suicide, and it's so heartbreaking to think of a tripling of suicide among girls 10 to 14 years old. It's just heartbreaking. I don't know what another word for it. But this is not correlated to, you know, poverty or, you know, lack of privilege or that kind of thing. It's, as a matter of fact, prosperity doesn't seem to be a cure for suicide or mental health struggles.
That's right. So researchers that are looking just for economic explanations, you know, we had the economic downturn of 2008-2009 and the years subsequent to that. Obviously, a lot of folks out of work and so forth. Those factors can perhaps account for some of what we're seeing, but the problem started certainly before that. And it's clear that those factors alone cannot account for what's going on, that suicide remains a problem among the very rich as well as among the very poor. So we're going to have to look beyond economics without ignoring the problem of unemployment and so forth. We're going to have to look beyond economics to try to get a handle on what's contributing to the rise of suicide and hand in hand with that, the rise of deaths by drug overdose and alcohol-related problems, what one Princeton economist, Nobel Prize-winning researcher called deaths of despair.
And I wonder how often are parents, for example, say one of my children came to me or somehow it became clear that my child was contemplating suicide. I wonder how many of us parents know what to do in a situation like that. I don't know. What do we do? Should we be asking about this, or are we just putting an idea in someone's head if we do this? How do you handle that?
Sure. So it's pretty clear that by inquiring about suicide, or by even asking tactfully, you know, when you know someone is struggling, have you ever gotten to the point where you felt like you couldn't go on anymore, or you felt like life wasn't worth living anymore, or have you ever thought about doing something to end your life? By inquiring about suicide, we are not going to implant ideas in people's minds that weren't already there. We have a lot of research that shows when family members or when doctors ask about this, then people are very likely to disclose it and to divulge what's going on. If we don't ask about it, if we fail to notice warning signs and we pass it by, they won't necessarily offer that information spontaneously because of a sense of shame for, you know, all the obvious reasons. It's very difficult for people to admit that they've gotten to the point where they feel utterly hopeless or where they've contemplated suicide. So it is important to keep your eyes and ears open. It's a myth that sort of all adolescents joke about this or think about this from time to time. So if you know, a friend reads something in someone's diary about wanting to die, they should take that very seriously and approach someone who's in a position to reach out and help. And my advice for parents would be not to try to manage the situation on their own. Obviously, inquire whatever information the child is willing to divulge. Hopefully, they're comfortable opening up and telling you what's going on. But also, take the time and trouble to seek out professional help from a licensed therapist or counselor who has experience dealing with children or adolescents who are struggling with mental health problems, and coordinate and collaborate with that person. Maybe even just starting with the counselor at school or seeking out another professional who could be of assistance. But parents may not be the ones who are necessarily in the best position to manage whatever's going on with the child without some assistance from the outside.
Dr. Aaron Cariotti is our guest this hour. He is the author of Catholic Guide to Depression, How the Saints, the Sacraments, and Psychiatry Can Help You Break its grip and Find Happiness Again. So is suicide always a manifestation of depression? Are there other reasons? And doctor, go ahead.
So most suicides, somewhere upwards of 80%, are associated with some form of clinically significant depression. So not every suicide is a result of depression. There can be other things that motivate or put a person at risk for suicide. But usually it is what psychiatrists call major depressive disorder, or the depressive phase of bipolar disorder, what used to be called manic depression, or some drug or alcohol-induced depressive syndrome or symptom. So depression and suicide tend to go hand in hand. There can be various causes and contributing factors when we talk about depression. It's a very complex condition. And so in most cases, suicide is going to go hand in hand with something that would be amenable to mental health treatment, something that probably is going to require some professional assistance from a physician, a psychiatrist, psychologist, or other mental health professional. in order to help the person get back on their feet and recover.
888-318-7884 is our number if you have questions about this approach to mental health that, as Dr. Cariotti says in the title to his book, that includes the saints, the sacraments, and psychiatry. Give us a call. 888-318-7884 is our number. Dr. Cariotti is not able to diagnose you or your family member or recommend a medication or a path of treatment to any individual. But if you have more general questions that you would like to ask, even ethical questions about the treatment of mental health issues or practical questions or spiritual questions, all of those are welcome. 888-318-7884 is the number. Dr. Aaron Cariotti is our guest. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 12:54, Jesus chastised the crowds for their competence in discerning the indications of the weather and yet failing to interpret the signs of the times. They had had the preaching of St. John the Baptist and the teachings of Jesus, and still they lived primarily for themselves. Such signs they chose not to heed. We have those same signs by way of Scripture and the teaching authority of the Church. How much of an impact do they have on the way we live our lives? We turn on the weather channel or the radio or the computer to check out the weather. But how often do we earnestly seek the Lord's will for us with such openness that we put nothing before it, even if it is unpleasant and others may be displeased with us? This isn't always easy, but it is the only response that He deserves. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about suicide, mental health, and the Catholic approach to these, an integrated Catholic approach to these, with Dr. Aaron Cariotti, Associate Professor of Psychiatry and the Director of Bioethics, or the Bioethics Program at the University of California Irvine School of Medicine. Our number, if you have questions, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. And you did say in the first segment there, Dr. Cariotti, that in all groups up to the age of 75, there's been an increase in the incidence of suicide.
That's right, over the last 15 years. And there's also been a troubling increase in the problem of loneliness. If you look at social science surveys, the number of people saying that they have no one close to them with whom they can talk about important things or on whom they could rely if they were having difficulties, that those numbers are very much on the rise over the same time period. So we see this strong correlation between a growing sense of loneliness, isolation, alienation, social or family fragmentation, and these rising rates of suicide. So it's a problem that has, I think, deep roots in the wider society and in our social and cultural context, as well as having other factors that are playing a role, like mental illness and so forth.
Now, I can imagine an objection coming that, well, you know, maybe psychiatry, you're saying that there's a psychiatric way to address these things, But isn't that just putting a Band-Aid on the problem? The problem is a spiritual crisis or something deeper. How do you respond to something like that?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and it's a very good point. And I guess my response would be that in most cases, we're not talking about an either-or. We're talking about a both-and. So if someone were to say, is the problem here biological or psychological or spiritual, the answer is probably there are factors on all of those levels that are contributing to bring a person to the point where they feel utterly hopeless or they believe that they can't go on anymore. And so rather than saying, well, should we only address the spiritual issues or should we only give a medication or only provide psychotherapy, typically an approach that would try to look at it from all of those perspectives and address the problem at all of those levels is going to be more effective than a more, what I would call a reductionistic approach or an overly simplistic approach that said, well, all you need to do is take a medication or all you need to do is pray more and have more faith.
Right.
I will mention, because so far we've talked about some very sobering statistics, but against this backdrop of the rising rates of suicide, interestingly enough, there is one group that seems to be relatively protected from the increase in suicide. My colleague at Harvard in the School of Public Health, Tyler Vanderweel, published a very good study looking at over 89,000 individuals, so a large population-based study, looking at suicide rates and religious participation. This was published just last year, and what he found was that those who went to church at least once a week had suicide rates that were five times less than that of the general population. This was a study of all women. It was a large study of nurses in the United States. And he found that Catholics who went to Mass more than once a week had the lowest suicide rates. In fact, there was, of the 89,000 individuals in the study, of the several thousand in that category, not one of them died by suicide in the period that the study examined. So does religious faith or religious participation immunize a person against mental illness or suicide? By no means, it doesn't. Does it considerably lower the risk of some of these worst outcomes like suicide? Yes, it seems to, and it probably does so for a number of reasons. It provides social support, it provides a sense of hope, and in the case of the Christian faith, it provides a sense that even in the midst of suffering, I can find meaning. I can recognize that this is permitted by God for the sake of some greater good. And if I unite my sufferings to the suffering of Christ on the cross, it can have redemptive value.
Yeah.
Does that make the difficulties easier to endure? Well, no, it's still going to be painful. It's still going to be difficult. But what it can help do is instill a sense of hope, right? A sense that things can get better, a sense that what I'm enduring is not meaningless. And that is very important to help people get through some of these roughest periods of life where they may otherwise be tempted to think, I simply can't go on anymore, and the only way to escape this intolerable suffering is to end my life.
Yeah. And the other thing about going to church, particularly when you go to Mass, is God is actually there. I mean, it's that your faith in God is one thing, but the actual presence of God is also good for us.
That's exactly right. His Eucharistic presence never fails us, that we can go there and visit him, see him, talk to him, and receive him anytime we want to is a tremendous consolation, especially, I think, for those who are struggling with crosses in their life, with pain, with perhaps mental anguish, with loss. The sacramental life of the church is an enormous source of consolation and hope and a very tangible way of knowing and sensing and feeling that we are in God's presence.
Lots and lots of callers. How about we head to Indianapolis for our first call? Anonymous in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on 88.1 FM. You are on with Dr. Aaron Cariotti. Your question, please.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is in regard to how a person of faith goes about finding a mental health professional that will be both respectful and sympathetic to one's faith and one's religious beliefs. Because
sure,
in my personal experience, I've found that to be a difficulty, and I've actually had to stop seeing a psychologist because there was some subtle hostility towards my beliefs.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Thank you for that question. This is one that I encounter very frequently. I think naturally people of faith, when they are seeing a mental health professional, because it does involve talking about things that are so intimate and important, and if faith is one of the central aspects of my life, one of the things that helps me understand the world, understand myself, and that motivates me, that's going to be a theme of my treatment, and it's going to be a central part of my recovery. And in fact, we have good evidence from medical research that by and large, religious faith and practice has a positive effect on both mental and physical health. So my advice is, certainly if you can find a mental health practitioner that shares your faith and that is also competent in the trade and the craft, that is optimal. There is a Catholic Psychotherapy Association that maintains a website with Catholic psychotherapists listed on it. And so that is one resource. The Catholic Medical Association also has a website of Catholic physicians that may be one place to look for a Catholic psychiatrist. I also recommend that folks try calling their diocese, because oftentimes the office at the diocese will maintain a list of mental health practitioners that, if not Catholic, are at least respectful of Catholic faith and morals, and folks to whom they can refer. So those are just a couple of ideas of places to start. I would say for some people, depending on where you live, it may be difficult to find a Catholic psychiatrist or a Catholic psychologist. And in the absence of that, I would encourage you not to give up trying to find someone who is a good fit. You may have to try a few people before you find that one who is respectful and has, if not shares your faith, at least has positive regard for it. The thing that most strongly predicts good outcomes in psychotherapy is not the particular technique that the psychotherapist uses or the particular approach that they are trained in. That can be important, but research has shown that the most important factor is a strong, trusting therapeutic relationship. So if you go to someone and you just don't have the right sense that this is a good fit, if you sense that something that is very important to you is misunderstood or disparaged by the therapist, well, move on and try someone new. I can say that I have many colleagues in the field who are not Catholic, but to whom I could, with great confidence, refer my own family members if necessary, because I know that while they may not share my faith, they have regard and respect for it. And so those folks are out there, and it may just take some time and some work and maybe a few iterations of trial and error before you find the right person.
Anonymous, is that helpful to you?
Yes, it is enormously helpful. Thank you so much.
Very good.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Thanks so much for your call. 888-318-7884 is our number. Dr. Aaron Cariotti is our guest this hour, associate professor of psychiatry and the director of the bioethics program at the University of California Irvine School of Medicine, and also the author of The Catholic Guide to Depression. 888-318-7884 is our number. I guess maybe some people have a view that psychiatry itself is maybe materialistic and doesn't believe in the soul and all that. But I hear the music, so we have to go, and I will ask you about that on the other side when we come back with Dr. Aaron Cariotti. This is Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is that number. We'll be right back after this.
Glad you're with us. Join us on air with your questions today on Catholic Answers Live.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson's masterpiece, Lord of the World, is, in a word, prophetic. Originally published in 1907, it depicts a world where relativism has triumphed over objectivity, a world where, in the name of tolerance, religious doctrine is not tolerated. It is a world where euthanasia is practiced widely and religion hardly practiced at all. The lord of this nightmare world is a benign-looking politician intent on power in the name of peace and intent on the destruction of religion in the name of truth. Author Dale Alquist said it best, whether or not Monsignor Benson's picture of our future is accurate, the fact is his picture of our present is chillingly accurate. Recommended by Pope Benedict XVI and by Pope Francis, Lord of the World is a must-read. It's also the latest release in the Catholic Answers Classics series. Order your copy of Lord of the World now by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting Catholic.com or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Right now you can get a free MP3 of Jimmy Akin's talk from this year's Catholic Answers National Conference, What the Reformation Was All About, when you sign up for our Radio Club newsletter, which we want to send you for free. Just go to catholic.com/radioclub, sign up for the Radio Club, and get your free MP3. And I'll tell you that I'm not supposed to say this, but we put those free MP3s up every month or two, so you're going to get more free MP3s if you sign up for Radio Club. But you also get our newsletter every week. It's a way to stay in touch, and you get to hear from us. And, you know, you can always email us too. I think we include that in the Radio Club, our secret email address, top secret. Is it top secret? radio@catholic.com. Darren, I shouldn't say it on the air. radio@catholic.com. Okay. Sign up for the Radio Club right now, catholic.com/radioclub, and you get the free MP3, What the Reformation Was All About, from Jimmy Akin. Our guest this hour is Dr. Aaron Cariotti. He is a psychiatrist from Orange County and the author of Catholic Guide to Depression, How the Saints, the Sacraments, and Psychiatry Can Help You Break Its Grip and Find Happiness Again. Dr. Cariotti, as I said before, lots and lots of calls, but I got halfway through a question when we went to the break before, so I just want to finish that. I think there are many Christians who are suspicious of psychiatry as a discipline in general, maybe associating it with Sigmund Freud, who was anti-religious himself, and with a kind of materialism that says, well, there's no soul or anything like that. And so how can I entrust myself to psychiatrists if that's what they think about me, I guess, would be the question.
Yeah, excellent question. And you're right. I think there are some historical factors that have caused many Christians and Catholics to be suspicious of psychiatry as a discipline. For the first half of the 20th century, psychiatry was dominated by the technique of psychoanalysis, which, as you already mentioned, was founded by Sigmund Freud, who presented his own personal philosophy as though it were a scientific conclusion. So Freud was a famous or infamous, perhaps, atheist, and certainly denied the soul, the idea of any transcendent destiny for human beings. And that philosophy had a very influential effect on psychiatry in its earliest days. Are there still psychiatrists now? Psychoanalysis and Freudian theory no longer dominates psychiatry, but there may be psychiatrists today who have a materialist or reductionistic view of the human person as these problems being reducible just to chemical discharges in the brain, so a sort of biological materialism. But it's not the case that all psychiatrists think that way. I would suggest it's not the case that most psychiatrists think that way. In my own department here at UC Irvine, the residents are trained to deal in a clinical context with religious and spiritual issues as they come up, and they're trained to try to inquire about them and deal with them respectfully, not that they're necessarily providing spiritual guidance or advice, but they're trying to understand the patient's worldview and perspective. So in our own training program, we train our residents to see the spiritual history as a very important part of the medical and psychiatric history, and to approach those issues with respect. And so I think while there may be some holdovers from the early days of psychiatry that approach things in a way that would be incompatible with the Catholic faith, that's certainly not the only, certainly probably not the dominant approach in psychiatry. And so there's plenty of good mental health practitioners out there who, even if they don't share your religious and spiritual convictions, can take an approach that is respectful and congruent with those convictions. So I would advise our listeners not to write off mental health practitioners of the disciplines of psychiatry and psychology altogether, but to try to find someone, a practitioner, that they can feel confident in and hopefully trust.
Dr. Aaron Cariotti is our guest. We go now to Cecilia here in San Diego, California, listening on 1000 AM. Cecilia, your
Hello?
Question. Yes. Hi, Cecilia. Your question
yes,
for Dr. Cariotti?
I have one question on a personal level. I am a recent suicide loss survivor. My 25-year-old son, Ryan, with almost 10 years of schizophrenia, did take his own life at home back in May. And so I was calling to find out about Catholic or Christian resources. There's a lot of books out there written by other suicide loss survivors that have been suggested to me. I haven't really read anything. I'm still kind of coming out of the shock fog. And I really wanted to get something more because I'm a cradle Catholic and I listen to the Catholic radio on a daily basis. And I wanted to acquire something more along my faith to dealing with this. I mean, I have a million questions, but that's one of the biggest things that maybe through reading this material will answer some of my questions. And besides that, I wanted to point out two things since you are obviously very knowledgeable about mental health and suicide. What do you think the stigma around just mental health in general and suicide, even though there's a few barriers being in the process of being broken right now, what can the Catholic Church, what can on a local basis do to help people, not just the sufferers, come forward and reach out, but also the family, the surrounding family and friends do to address it? People feel like it's awkward. They feel like it's not their business. And there's a lot of people suffering, like my son was, and even people within my own family didn't know how to approach him. And it's on the rise right now. You touched upon that earlier in the conversation. Since May, it's been so sad how an eye-opening I've had of how prevalent this is. Even kids as young as 10 years old are taking their lives. I mean, this is like an epidemic to me. This is an epidemic, right? And no one's talking about it.
Cecilia.
So anyway, what can the Catholic Church do?
Thank you, Cecilia, for your questions. Let me say first how sorry I am for your loss. And understanding, having lost a close friend to suicide, how anguishing that is. So I will pray for you and for your family and for the repose of the soul of your son. I would say the first resource I would suggest is that the Catholic Church has a morally firm but also very pastorally sensitive teaching on suicide. And there's a couple of paragraphs in the Catechism of the Catholic Church that address the issue of suicide. And the Catholic Church recognizes that for a person to take his own life is contrary to God's will and his intention for us, contrary to justice and charity. But at the same time, the Church recognizes that in most cases of suicide, certainly in the case of your son who struggled with a serious illness like schizophrenia, our ability to think clearly can be impaired. And as a consequence of that, the person's culpability, their responsibility for that action may be diminished or maybe entirely gone. And the Catholic Church says clearly in the Catechism that in ways known to God alone, he can provide the opportunity for salutary repentance for folks who take their own life, that we do not despair of their eternal salvation, that the Church prays for those who have taken their own life. And I think that's very important to remember. I have a chapter on suicide in the book, The Catholic Guide to Depression, which may be helpful for you. I would say it's the most personal chapter in the book. So it's not just statistics and clinical details, but I talk about the suicide of patients that I've treated and of a close friend of mine and family members of friends that I've known. One of the people mentioned in that chapter, Christine Scheller, has a beautiful account of her grief and her struggles after losing her son to suicide. That was published in Christianity Today. So if you look up online, Christine Scheller, Christianity Today, you'll find that article. It's also referenced in the suicide chapter of my book. So those are a couple of resources that come to mind. I'm sure there are others, but those would be a good place to start.
In the Christian website, who printed your book?
Sophia Institute Press. Yeah, Sophia Institute Press, and you can also find it on Amazon. I want to address, too, your point that that the Church needs to do more, and I couldn't agree with you more on that. I know many people here in my own Diocese of Orange, there's a concerted effort, very much supported by our Bishop, Kevin Vann, to try at the parish level to develop more awareness and support groups and family groups for individuals struggling with mental illness and for family members. So we have a concerted effort here to do outreach, and several parishes have developed support groups and educational opportunities and other things of that nature. So I'm not sure what's going on in San Diego right now, but I was asked to speak by the Diocese of San Diego on mental health issues about a year ago. And so I know that there are some folks in the diocese down there that are likewise trying to develop some resources for Catholics. So reaching out to the diocese there or reaching out to the folks up here in Orange may give you some leads on either places that you could go or models for things that people down in San Diego could do along the same lines. I know that all of the Catholic bishops in California are keenly interested in addressing this issue and are planning to make a written statement on it sometime this year. And that will hopefully, again, help at the local level, at the parish level, help more people develop an awareness of just how many folks in our pews, how many folks there with us in our communities are struggling with mental health issues, and to help overcome the unjust and unfair stigma that somehow we put mental illness in a different category than medical illness, which is entirely unfair to the folks who struggle and suffer with these problems. So I think there needs to be a lot of education on the nature of mental illness, on the causes of mental illness, to help people understand that people don't suffer from these problems because of a lack of faith or because of some sort of defect of character. But these problems most often, especially things like schizophrenia, have biological and genetic roots that through no fault of their own, people develop these illnesses that are very severe and that impact their lives in very serious ways. And our Lord's ministry was a ministry of healing. And so we have a responsibility as Catholics to engage in that ministry of healing and help and support and consolation, both for those who struggle with mental illness and for families who struggle with loved ones that have mental illness, and particularly for families like yours that have lost a loved one to mental illness. That sadly, we do what we can to try to reduce the risk of suicide, but I also believe that that some people are at very high risk, and try as we might, we may not be able to save them from that outcome. Just like people with heart disease, some of them, even with good medicine, are still going to die of heart problems or a heart attack. So people with schizophrenia and bipolar and serious depression, we try to help as many of them as we can, but tragically, some of them will end up dying by suicide. And when that happens, the Catholics need to be there in solidarity with our fellow Catholics to help them grieve, to console them, to let them know that we're there for them and that we're praying for them, and that the person they lost is still loved by God. God loves your son more than even you can. It's hard to imagine that, but I think we have to remember that in his agony in the garden and on the cross, our Lord suffered not only our physical anguish, but also the mental anguish of feeling alienated and feeling alone. And so he stretches out his hands mercifully, I think, towards all those who have despaired of life, towards all those who struggle with mental illness. And so we have to prayerfully place him in God's hands and trust in his mercy.
Cecilia, I can assure you also that many have prayed for you during this call, and we're very grateful for that call. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with, Cecilia?
Thank you so much for your thorough response. I agree with everything you said, and I do believe that, you know, maybe my son, because I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around how my son's death as part of God's plan, merciful and wise plan, serves a purpose, and or at least in my little micro life. But that's why I wanted to read stuff that might help me better understand. But
you know, Cecilia, along those lines, it just occurs to me, maybe Dr. Peter Kraif's book, Making Sense of Suffering, is another one that you might look at.
Because Peter Kraif,
K-R-E-E-F-T, and that because he comes at it from a philosophical and theological side. To if you're having questions like that about what does this mean and why do I not know what it means, he's very helpful, Making Sense of Suffering. If you want to stay on the line, Cecilia, we can run through these with you again with the call screener, the suggestions that have been made, if you need to write them down. We have to, however, take a break. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I fell away from the practice of my Catholic faith in my college years. But after I got married and we were expecting our first child, I had an enormous tug to come back to my roots. I went to an incredible Catholic store in my town and was blown away by the kindness and knowledge of the staff. They not only recommended books for me and my bride, but they promised me prayer support for my journey back to the faith. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store. I have to credit them for helping me on my journey home to the Catholic Church. Now they consider me part of their family, and I have shared with them my oldest son's desire to become a Catholic priest someday. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at incrediblecatholicstore.com. That's incrediblecatholicstore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, we're going to be talking chastity with Jason Everett, always a fascinating and entertaining guest, Jason. So if you have questions about living a life of chastity, what we mean by a life of chastity, or if you have some arguments maybe against the Catholic teaching on chastity, all those are welcome next hour when Jason is here. This hour, we have Dr. Aaron Cariotti, Associate Professor of Psychiatry and the Director of the Bioethics Program at the University of California Irvine School of Medicine with us, and we are discussing mental health and suicide from a Catholic perspective today. We go now to Anonymous in Indianapolis, Indiana. Watching on YouTube, Anonymous, your question for Dr. Cariotti.
Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
I was wondering if you had some spiritual advice for someone that it's chemically in the head that at times become clinically depressed or suicidal.
Sure. So my first piece of advice is to try to avoid isolating yourself. It's important to have some folks in your life that you're able to trust enough to talk to about the fact that you struggle with depression, or if you don't want to use that word, that you hit these rough patches where things become much more difficult. And reach out to those folks when you're struggling. Sometimes on those days, you can get into a cycle where you're replaying negative thoughts in your head, maybe thinking, I don't want to bother these people, or they don't have time for me, or I'm better off just trying to manage this on my own. And more often than not, taking that approach is going to be more harmful than helpful. So social isolation tends to compound depression, tends to make it worse. So try to be with other people, try to spend time with other people, try to reach out to folks that you trust so that you're not trying to manage this all on your own. Prayer can become very challenging when you are depressed. It's harder to think clearly. It's harder to concentrate and to focus. You may feel emotionally that God is more distant on those days, or there just may be a lack of consolation in prayer, which can make it more difficult. And my advice in those circumstances is don't give up on prayer. Maybe those are times to lean on other forms of prayer, like the rosary, which has a calming effect, which can allow you to maybe give you the words that you need to say rather than having you have to think through a mental fog in order to come up with things to say to our Lord and to His Mother. So prayers like the rosary, continuing to participate in the sacramental life of the Church, the Mass, and seeking out, hopefully you're seeking out mental health care, but in addition to that, some spiritual support from a priest or someone else who can provide some spiritual direction and can provide an outside perspective to help you see things more clearly that may, when you're in a depressed state, may be harder to remember, your own thinking and judgment tends to become clouded when you're depressed. The depressed mind sort of plays tricks on you, and you tend to focus on only the negative thoughts about yourself or about the world or about the future. And that's where having other people that you can connect with and talk to, people that you trust, to disclose sort of what's going on in your interior struggles. And those folks can hopefully provide you with other perspectives, reminders of the other things in your life that you can attend to that are good. And the last piece of advice is a very simple exercise, but one that research has shown to have positive effects on depression and other mental health problems. And it's simply an exercise in gratitude, that the virtue of gratitude has very positive benefits for our mental health. Robert Emmons, who's a psychologist and researcher at the University of California, Davis, has done a lot of very rigorous and very interesting work on the virtue of gratitude. And one of the simple exercises that he's tested is simply at the end of the day, taking 2 or 3 minutes, just to write down 3 concrete things from that day that you are grateful for. And the actual practice of writing them down is important, not just thinking of them. And they could be simple things. They could be things that appear almost trivial. They don't have to be big, grand things. But 3 things that went well, or 3 small gifts that you were given that day from God, even if they seem small, just that daily habit and exercise of attending to the good things in our life, even, and I would suggest especially on days where we're struggling with hardships, where we're carrying crosses that feel very heavy or may feel overwhelming. So those are just a few ideas. There's more suggestions that you can find in my book on depression, but those are a few that you can perhaps start with.
Okay, Anonymous?
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate the call. 888-318-7884. The number here, we go now to Terry in Newport Beach, California, listening on AM 1000. Terry, your question for Dr. Aaron Cariotti.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. First of all, my heart goes out to all of those that are suffering with mental illness, depression, all of it. I just want to just say that my prayers are with all of you. I really appreciate your show this morning. Interesting. I believe everything happens for a reason. I'm a mother of 2, but most importantly, I'm a mother of 1 that is a 25-year-old beautiful daughter of mine that, excuse me, is going through this. Don't really know where to start or end this. I'm just going to kind of just throw some things at you.
Actually, Terry, we're coming up to the end of the hour, so you have to ask Dr. Cariotti a question.
Okay. So here it is. My daughter is definitely depressed. I believe that post-traumatic stress can trigger psychotic episodes, can trigger schizophrenia, for instance, with social media, a bad breakup, a boyfriend that's been hacking into your stuff, you start to feel crazy.
Sure.
Okay, this is her situation. You start to feel like, oh, my God, I'm going nuts. We're at the point now where she literally has.
Terry, you're going to have to let Dr. Cariotti just give a quick response. I'm sorry, doctor, but we have come to the end of the hour. A quick response for Terry?
Yeah, so family members that are struggling and maybe not willing to seek help, oftentimes they'll listen to someone who's gone through something similar. So trying to bring them along to a support group, trying to find another family member or friend that has maybe had to seek mental health treatment, talk to them about their perspective. You know, I struggled with depression too. I didn't want to see anyone, but I found help by taking this route. Oftentimes, coming from someone who's walked in a similar situation,
that advice
is going to be more helpful.
We are at an end. Dr. Aaron Cariotti, thank you so much. We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.